Marcus Aurelius was the Emperor of Rome when the empire was at its absolute peak. He ruled millions of people and had enough money to buy literally anything he wanted. But instead of getting caught up in that wealth, he followed a philosophy of Stoicism that taught that true freedom doesn't come from the stuff you own or how much money you have, but from controlling your own mind. To stay grounded, Marcus kept a private journal. Whether he was out at a military camp or sitting in his palace, he wrote notes to himself. And today, we know those notes as the Meditations. Now, most of us aren't ruling empires. We have normal problems, bills to pay, career struggles, and financial stress. Stoicism teaches us that you can't always control the economy or your paycheck. So instead of relying on money to feel secure, you should focus on mastering the only thing you can actually control, which is yourself. If your happiness is tied to your bank account or the things you own, you'll always live in fear, because the outside world can take those things away at any moment. But if you train your mind to be content and focus on who you are rather than what you have, you stop being a slave to your financial circumstances and start living on your own terms, like a true king. And that's what this video is about. How to use the philosophy of Marcus Aurelius to live like a king, regardless of how much you're making. Number 1. Deconstruct the illusion of luxury. Being the Emperor of Rome, Marcus Aurelius was one of the wealthiest and most powerful men on the earth. Every single day in his palace, he was presented with the finest foods, the most expensive wines, and elite garments. But instead of letting this wealth go to his head, he recognized that people have a terrible habit of assigning artificial value to objects just to elevate their social status. When you assign that kind of value to lifeless things, you end up letting them dictate your own worth. You become a hostage to the things you want. In the Meditations, he wrote, "Where there are things that appear most worthy of our approval, we ought to lay them bare, look at their sheer worthlessness, and strip them of all the words by which they are exalted." He spoke specifically about his imperial purple robe. In antiquity, this robe was the ultimate symbol of absolute power and wealth. But instead of reveling in how exclusive it was, Marcus completely stripped away the narrative. He looked at it and wrote, "This noble robe is just sheep's wool dyed with the blood of a shellfish." And he does the exact same thing with his meals. The prized Falernian wine, the most expensive drink in the empire, to Marcus Aurelius, it's merely juice wrung from a grape. The extravagant roasted meat on his banquet table, well, that's just the dead body of a pig. Today, we're constantly sold the idea that designer clothes, luxury cars, and expensive watches give us value. But you can use Marcus's method to look right past the marketing. The next time you catch yourself feeling less because of a status symbol you can't afford, strip down the object to its basic parts. Take a luxury watch. It's just a glass and some metal gears. A designer jacket is just dyed fabric stitched together. Once you view these items simply as raw materials, they lose their power to make you feel like you're missing out. Number 2. Use money as a tool. The Stoics divided everything in life into 3 simple buckets. The first is true good, which is your character, your courage, honesty, and choices. The second is true bad, which is a corrupt character or harming others. The third bucket contains everything else: your bank account, your car, your health, and your reputation. The Stoics called these indifference because they have absolutely no power to make you a good or bad person. However, the Stoics were practical. They knew financial security is better than being hungry, so they called money a preferred indifferent. This means if wealth is on the table, it's fine to prefer it and enjoy it. You just can't sell your soul to get it, and you can't fall apart if you lose it. Marcus learned how to live this way by watching his adoptive father, Emperor Antoninus, who used his wealth without arrogance and yet without apology. If the palace staff laid out an expensive banquet, Antoninus would enjoy the vintage wine without guilt. But if he was travelling on the rough edges of the empire, eating hard bread and sleeping in a cold tent, he didn't complain. He didn't even seem to notice the difference. Years later, Marcus Aurelius himself put this philosophy to the test. During his reign, Rome was hit by two massive crises at once: the devastating Antonine Plague that killed a massive portion of the population, and Germanic tribes were pushing through Rome's northern borders. The empire urgently needed to fund an army to defend itself, but the treasury was empty. The standard move for an emperor was to raise taxes on the citizens, but Marcus took a different approach. He ordered his staff to clear the palace of all its luxury items: the royal furniture, crystals, gold ornaments, and his wife's silk robes. For 2 months, he held a public auction in the city square, selling off his own household possessions to fund Rome's defense. Selling these items didn't humiliate him, because he viewed wealth as a resource, not a reflection of his worth. Today, most people build their identity around how many assets they own. We don't just want more money, we want to use it to measure ourselves. So when a paycheck gets smaller or life forces us to cut back, it feels like a personal failure, like we're becoming less than we were before. Living like a king means treating money as a tool, not as your identity. It's simply a piece of utility, a lever you use to solve a problem, provide for a family, or navigate a crisis. So if you get a bonus or treat yourself to something nice, enjoy it without apology. But if tomorrow you're eating cheap takeout on the floor of a cramped apartment, your mood cannot drop a single inch. A true king can hold court in a palace or sleep in the dirt, because he knows that neither the gold nor the dirt has any actual power over him. Number 3. Focus on what you can control. For years, Marcus commanded Roman troops on the freezing, brutal frontiers of Germania, where his army was surrounded by hostile tribes, dealing with endless warfare, diseases, and the constant threat of death. Despite being an emperor, his daily physical reality was grim, miserable, and exhausting. But when you read his journal, you don't find a man who's stressed, complaining, or broken by his environment. You find a man at peace. You see, he understood that you cannot always control what happens to your physical body. You can't always control where you have to live, the conditions of your environment, or how chaotic the world around you becomes. And it's this realization that's at the foundation of the dichotomy of control, a ruthlessly practical mental filter that dictates absolutely everything in life must be divided into two strict categories. First, the things not entirely in your control: the economy, the weather, illness, the past, and the actions of others. But then we have the second group: things that are entirely in your control: your thoughts, your choices, your effort, and your reactions. The Stoics argued that almost all human misery and anxiety comes from blurring the lines between these two lists. We suffer because we exhaust our emotional energy trying to manipulate the uncontrollable, while completely ignoring the only variables we actually own. Aurelius accepted the freezing mud, the plague, and the threat of battle as external facts he couldn't change. Because frustration served no practical utility, he simply dropped it. Instead, he channeled 100% of his energy into his own actions, his own decisions, and his own character. Because getting angry at a financial crisis serves absolutely no practical purpose, you should simply drop the frustration and focus entirely on the variables you actually can control, those being adjusting your budget, mapping out a new plan, and taking the next logical step. When you filter your life this way, an empty treasury doesn't make you any less royal. You can be sitting in the cheapest, smallest room in the city, dealing with the worst financial season of your life, and still hold court in total peace. Number 4. Take a view from above. As emperor, Aurelius had access to vast wealth, land, and power. For many, that kind of power would lead to arrogance or a constant fear of losing it. To avoid both, he practiced a Stoic exercise, now known as the view from above. He'd mentally step back and imagine his mind leaving his body, floating high above the earth, and looking down at human affairs from the stars. and from up there, he noted that the grandest, most expensive estates looked like tiny grains of sand. Massive, conquering armies looked like swarms of ants. And the Earth itself, well, that was just a pale blue dot. Most of our daily stress comes from being zoomed in too close. Our entire world shrinks down to the size of our immediate surroundings. The car parked in the neighbor's driveway, the size of our apartment, or how much money someone else is making. When you're pressed right up against those details, the gap between what you have and what they have feels massive. It makes you feel like you're failing. But Marcus believed that a wider perspective helps dissolve many of these worries. As he wrote, "You have the power to strip away many useless troubles by comprehending the whole universe in your mind." So the next time you feel the pressure of falling behind, just close your eyes and imagine a camera pulling away from you. Picture yourself sitting in your room, then pull the camera up through the ceiling so you see your whole building. Keep pulling it up. Now you're looking down at your entire city. The cars are just little dots. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going until you see the whole curve of the Earth sitting quietly in the dark of space. And from up there, look back down. Where is the gap you were so worried about? The gap between a billionaire and an ordinary worker is zero. We're all just temporary residents on the same tiny rock. So instead of exhausting yourself trying to climb society's manufactured status ladders, you can simply zoom out. Number 5. Reclaim your present. In his journal, Marcus Aurelius wrote that when Alexander the Great died, he was put into the ground and reduced to the exact same state as his own mule driver. All the gold in the world and all the conquered cities couldn't stop the most powerful man on earth from turning into the exact same dirt as the guy who drove his carts. He further wrote that it doesn't matter if a man was destined to live for 3,000 years or if he's gonna die tomorrow morning. When the end finally comes, he loses only one thing. Not the past, that's already gone. And not the future, that was never his to begin with. The only thing anyone can ever lose is this moment. The present moment is the only thing any of us truly possesses. You can put a billionaire and a minimum wage worker side by side. On a spreadsheet, the gap between them is massive. But in the actual reality of human existence, they both only have the exact same thing. This current moment. Reclaiming the present is not an excuse to spend lavishly, blow your savings, or refuse to plan for tomorrow. However, there's a massive difference between preparing for the future and obsessing over it. The problem arises when we let the anxiety of tomorrow rob us of today. Most of our financial obsessions, the constant stress, the fear of falling behind, the desperate hustle, are all just an attempt to control a future we might not even live to see. We trade away the only thing we actually own, our present, out of fear of what we don't, our future. If you're sitting in a cramped apartment eating a cheap meal, but you're fully and completely engaged in that moment, you're infinitely richer than an anxious millionaire who's completely checked out, terrified about what the market will do tomorrow. True wealth isn't a number in a bank account. True wealth is your attention right now. Plan responsibly for tomorrow, but stop trying to live there. Reclaim the only real currency that you'll ever have. Right now. Number 6. Choose discomfort. Marcus Aurelius was a highly privileged kid growing up in one of the wealthiest households in Rome. He had access to the absolute best of everything, including the softest, warmest beds in the city. However, upon being introduced to philosophy in his youth, he realized that constant comfort is dangerous. It makes a person fragile. If you only ever experience soft beds and perfect conditions, you become terrified of losing them. Your peace of mind becomes a hostage to your environment. So this wealthy 11-year-old made a very strange choice. He chose to sleep on the floor, He set up a hard wooden camp bed and covered himself in nothing but a rough, scratchy cloak. But why would a kid who had everything willingly choose to suffer? Well, he was proving to his own nervous system that he didn't actually need luxury to survive. This practice in Stoicism is called voluntary hardship, which in simple terms means practicing being uncomfortable on purpose, so you realise that you don't actually need your luxuries to be okay. Today, our entire world is built around avoiding discomfort at all costs. We live in climate-controlled rooms, we eat exactly what we crave the moment we crave it, and we sleep on premium mattresses. And because we're so perfectly comfortable, we're completely terrified of losing our lifestyle. We'll stay in miserable jobs, tolerate toxic situations, and live with constant anxiety just to protect our comfort. The Stoic solution to this is to stop running from discomfort and step directly into it, but on your own terms. Yes, you practice the voluntary hardship. Yes, you turn the dial and take a freezing cold shower in the morning. Yes, you skip your meals and deliberately fast for 24 hours. You leave your expensive mattress and spend a night sleeping on the hard floor. You wear your oldest, cheapest clothes for a week. And when you do this, you force yourself to experience the exact physical discomfort you've been so desperately afraid of. And in doing that, you realise that you're completely fine. No, the floor didn't break your back. No, you survived being hungry. No, you realised that the absolute worst case scenario you've been stressing over turned out to be completely manageable. Number 7. Do your duty. There's a very famous and deeply relatable entry in Marcus Aurelius's journal. It's a cold morning, and he's wrapped up in his warm blankets, and he really, really doesn't want to get out of bed. He could easily stay under the covers, cancel his daily duties, and order his staff to bring him whatever he wanted. But instead, he has a harsh argument with himself. And notice how he motivates himself. He doesn't say, "Get up so you can enjoy your extreme wealth." Instead, he writes, "At dawn, when you have trouble getting out of bed, tell yourself, I have to go to work as a human being. Was I created to huddle under the blankets and stay warm?" He reminds himself that he wasn't put on this earth just to be comfortable. He was put there to do a job. He grounds his entire existence in the concept of duty. To Marcus Aurelius, we are all part of the greater cosmos, which is the grand natural order of life. We're like bees in a hive, each with a specific role to play to keep human society running smoothly. A true king is defined by his duty to the world around him. You don't need $1 million in the bank to treat people around you with fairness, to show courage under pressure, or to practice quiet, daily discipline. If you wake up when you're supposed to, fulfill your responsibilities to your family and your community, and do your work with absolute excellence, you're exhibiting royal behaviour. You're living like a king, regardless of the size of your paycheck. And that's our video. So what did you think? Will you be changing anything about your life due to the teachings of Marcus Aurelius? Were you already a Stoic at heart? If so, what are some of your tips for how to live a more fulfilling life? I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments. But until next time, as always, I've been Dan, you've been awesome, and if you enjoyed what you saw or found it helpful at all, why not check out our full Philosophies for Life playlist? And as always, for more videos to help you find success and happiness using beautiful philosophical wisdom, don't forget to subscribe. Thanks so much for watching.